Sandra, and Noah.
Hello, hello, and welcome back to the Theater World Podcast. My name's Noah Bender.
And I'm Sandra Nemchek.
And our guest this week is a New York-based actor who has also happened to appear and star in numerous Theater World readings, Zoom productions. Please welcome Juan Castro.
Woohoo!
Hi, hi, hello, hello. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. So we were just discussing with you how you haven't used Zoom in... how many, since maybe like the last Zoomsicle probably?
Definitely, most definitely.
You know, we were looking through all of your Zoomsicle histories with us, and we noticed that you did all the little shows with us. You did Little Mermaid, Little Women, and Little Shop of Horrors.
Whoa, that was not on purpose. I'm actually like...
And Shrek.
Oh, and then Shrek. Not so little, but oh, wow, that was not, that's so funny. Yes, that's right.
All the little shows. Yes, you had starring roles. You were Seymour in Little Shop of Horrors, and Prince Eric and in Little Mermaid, and weren't you Laurie in Little Women? This was how I met you, doing shows on Zoom just during COVID.
Yeah,
that's what I loved about that time. I mean, in the face of all that stuff and not being able to meet in person, I love that I got to meet a bunch of people that I've always heard of but never got to see in or like properly.
Yeah. And we met like a few times in person before that. I was just like, yes. I don't know, let's ask Juan, I guess, if he wants to do a show on Zoom.
I met you in like that short rehearsal process we had.
You guys were in Into the Woods right before COVID, right?
Oh
yeah,
recipes rip.
So it was like me being like Jack's mom to me, learning every single role because they were like, maybe there's going to be COVID. And I was like, what's happening? And then they just shut down that after that. They were like, maybe you should learn everything. Maybe not. Okay, bye. Everyone's done.
Crazy times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But here we are now.
Yes. Right, back to normal-ish.
Ish, right.
So Juan, you've been living in New York since the mid stage of the pandemic. What has it been like for you to return to theater in New York as New York is returning to theater as well?
Well, it's all been such a huge learning experience for me, seeing as I've never obviously lived out here before, and I've never just like focused on my acting career. And so it's been cool. When I first moved out here, it was a lot of virtual stuff. Mm-hmm. I think I had a couple in-person auditions for like the Disney Cruise Lines, but like overall, it was all just Actors Access, like submitting tapes and everything.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But when I came back just last month, wow, everything's just back to, it feels like it's going back to normal. Slowly but surely, like, so I'm getting to experience like the cliche, like actor's life. I'm like going to the to Pearl Studios and Equity Building and like being surrounded by all these people. And like, we're all non-unions. We're all waiting for,
your chorus line moment.
In-person auditions are back?
Yes, yes.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so.
I thought it was just going to be self-tapes for forever from here on out.
Right, I know. And I felt like. I mean, there's like a benefit to it. I think there's pros and cons to everything, I think. But like,
it's more convenient for casting people to see you on tape.
For sure. True. But I will say, and make me sound so obnoxious, but like, I do miss like auditioning in person.
Oh, no, of course. It's way better than the actor.
You bring your own self to it. I mean, you have a camera and you're like, I'm singing in front of a camera, but you have people in front of you and they're like, I'm singing in front of people.
Right. And people can really feel you as a person, like your vibe, mm-hmm. when you're there in the room, so
it's not just about your 32 bars. It's about if they want to work with you and they can't really get
if
that.
If you're nice to the pianist.
Can't really get that from a recording of you from your iPhone in your apartment.
Singing to a YouTube instrumental.
Yeah, exactly.
It's been great. Like, it's back to, oh my gosh, I can't talk. Yeah, like back to in-person auditioning and just waking up super early to get your name on the list and stuff. And it's sort of wild. I've just never experienced like this before, so it's been cool to learn as I go and all that.
And you've been ushering too, right?
Yeah.
So technically my position is called a line expediter, which is sort of like a greeter, ultimately.
I know exactly how that feels. I've done the same thing, but for TV tapings.
Yeah. Oh,
so you make sure the line doesn't go in the street.
I've said, hi, how are you, right this way, so many times.
Bam.
Hi, how are you, right this way. Hi, how are you, right this way.
Uh-huh, right. I work at the Lena Horne now, which was previously the Brooks Atkinson, but they just named it the Lena Horne, for where Six is. So I work with Nederlander organization, and they assigned me that theater. And so I basically help set up and stand outside and, like, you know, get people in. And then after that, I, like, stand guard by the, not the stage door, but, like, this other door where employees walk through.
It's an important job. It's an important job. Yeah. It's one of the things that keeps the show experience going.
Yes, there's so many people involved. People forget, I think. Oh gosh, I mean, the amount of stories I could share about patrons, but I don't want to go into that because then it makes it sound like a negative experience.
Please talk shit about the worst. We want to hear
like the worst. Yeah,
well, okay, the worst actually. Yeah. I don't know about
or the best.
My popcorn's out.
Okay,
give us the tea.
So this was like I was fresh on the job. It was my third week, I don't know. And I'm, you know, directing people over and, like, smiling. I'm, like, minding my own business. And this, I'm motioning like this, you know. They're like, oh, keep the line.
He's moving his hand.
This way. And a lady starts imitating me as she walks by and is, like, giggling. And I'm like, oh, haha, like, she's being silly. Says, wow, like, you went to college for this.
It's so demeaning.
As she walks by, and I'm just like, I was just in shock. I was like, oh, okay. She, like, read me, and I'm like, well, but it made no sense. I mean, I don't know. And that's just, I mean, that was probably the worst. But I've just heard people are so mean.
Yeah, you're dealing with. I feel like at Six, it's a really young audience.
Well, that was an older lady. That's an older lady.
I know, yeah.
And you were like, wow, you're at Six.
Yeah.
I don't know. You should always have a clap back. Come on.
I know. Well.
But you're also working.
So I'm going to behead you, bitch.
Like, well, I also don't want to be fired. But no, it's just interesting. I feel like, I don't know. And, like, I don't know if you've seen, like, some of the articles on, like, Playbill and what's it, like, Broadway World about, like, overall patron behavior sort of act like being worse.
Yeah.
Than
yeah. I've heard people are singing, they're taking phone calls.
Or punching people, right? There was a fight.
Punching people?
Yeah, I heard there was a fight.
And there was a fight at, like,
between audience members or with staff?
I think with staff. In the UK, I thought I read something like that. I don't know. But from my personal experience, I've just had, like, very rude patrons, of course, but, like, nothing too wild or crazy. And then I did take a little hiatus because I was in California, but I heard some stories about the time that I was gone, like patrons acting up and stuff. So
I think what Broadway really needs is more gatekeeping. I think we need to make it so that only the most polite, rich, elite people
can come to $2,000 to see
no
the show.
No teenagers, no poor people. How dare you? Students, get out of here. You're going to be on your phone the entire time. I just want rich tufts of wigs and pumps. Yeah. Get out of here.
Let them eat cake.
Yes. Make each ticket $500, damn it.
Wow.
We need to gatekeep Broadway.
Yeah. It's definitely not like that at all right now.
Oh. No.
It's really accessible. So it's
very, very so accessible.
Yes.
Yes, we've got our monocles.
Oh. I would pay $200 for Bad Cinderella.
Yeah, we were just talking about how much we'd pay to see Bad Cinderella. I think I'd cap it at 60, maybe 75.
I said 40.
Wow, that's really generous. I mean, they have a rush for 30, so I'm like,
I'm gonna pay. Oh, with, you know, like the service fees, I think it goes to 40, right?
Sure.
You know, the processing fee. Are you gonna go see it?
Oh, yes. I don't have a set date, but
you better hurry because they're probably gonna close tomorrow.
This is the first show I've seen in a long time where like people are excited about it for the wrong reasons.
Yes. I feel like, because I can't even compare it to Diana. Diana was just like, it showed up and then people realized, it was a slow burn, I think.
Yeah.
And they had that weird thing of like releasing the Netflix film during. So I was like, but people, anyway, so they knew what they were getting into, where it's like Bad Cinderella had such a bad history. Mm-hmm. And then I will say the marketing team, I mean, did their job and they really embraced, like, I don't know if they embraced, it seemed like they embraced the camp of it.
They're like, they're trying to make it camp. They're like trying to troll people, but it's missing the mark in such a bizarre way. Like, I feel like it's like a car accident you can't look away from.
Right.
Where it's like, I want to see it, but it's not going to be fulfilling.
No, sure.
Yeah.
I already had a friend who went and I trust his opinion. And he was like, honestly, like, it was the worst thing I've seen. And he said, it was not even like the fun kind of bad. And
I'm
like,
I know, yeah.
No.
That's sad.
Sad Cinderella.
Yeah.
Cinderella. Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I want Lloyd Webber to make me squirm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm sure they're like just watching it and being like, I need another drink. Why can't I go to the bar? It's not even intermission. Oh, wow. So last summer I came to see New York and I hung out with you a lot. And my first day getting there, I remember being like, I can't check into my hotel right now. And I was like, where are you? And you were like, I am trekking it around the TKS like booth area and like really just like getting all these tickets from everywhere. And I was like, what do you mean? And then you just like showed me and I was just like, this is the weirdest thing I could ever like imagine. Like, did you even think like that's what you would be doing when you signed up for that job?
No, not at all. So it's TodayTix, the app.
Oh, sorry. Yes.
No, but it's okay. They always get mixed up. But TodayTix. So commonly used app, everyone probably thinks, oh, you know, everything's done electronically. You know, it's 2023, like, you know. No, there is a factor that in which we have employees who actually run around Broadway, box office to box office, and literally buy physical tickets and then take pictures of them and then send in the information to the fulfillment center. And they're walking around with these pouches, like we're walking around with these pouches and with like cash, because every theater has a different system. So it's sort of ridiculous, but like, I can't remember now, like,
because it's kind of like a drug meal.
I'm not working with them anymore. But like, let's say like at Phantom, they have a limit of, oh, well, you could only buy 5 tickets on this card and the rest has to be cash. Or some places, some theaters will be like, oh, well, you've already used your credit card once this week, so the rest of the week you have to use cash, or you have
so
to
bizarre.
Use it is absolutely ridiculous.
You think it's kind of
standardized.
Right. It's just it's all around, it's all over the map. And so the job isn't super difficult. It's just like you sort of learn on the job, like, okay, oh, remember, yes, at the Schubert's I can't do that. Over here I can't do that.
Yeah.
It's like
on the job training.
Yeah. And
are they just giving you their like unsold tickets or like certain sections that they want to sell at a cheaper rate?
I'm not sure how the communication between them works, but like,
yeah,
you're basically literally going up to them and saying hi, like, you know, because we offer in the thing like, oh, rear mezzanine or something, but it doesn't tell you which seat particularly, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. I've done those through like Gold Star or TodayTix, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so you're basically just going up and being like, hi, I need 2 in the rear mezz for whatever set price. And then sometimes the prices match, or like for the most part they do. But like, it's just this constant like Yeah, just checking in and seeing if the prices match up or not. I don't know. It's sort of been a while since, because when I took the hiatus for the California gig, when I came back, I haven't returned to Today Tech. So I know things have sort of shifted.
Well, also, let's talk about your California gig, because you recently wrapped up a show that I really sincerely love, that I feel like is an underrated gem, which is A Year with Frog and Toad. Let's talk about that, because you played the snail, correct?
Yes.
whose whole track is I'm delivering a letter.
The snail, snail with the mail, he'll deliver without fail. I had no clue how adorable the show was.
It is.
And also, I think, if I'm not mistaken, fun fact, it's the only TYA show that was on Broadway.
That makes sense. I mean, it's definitely for, you know, elementary school age or younger, right? I feel like that's the target audience. It's based off, you know, the Frog and Toad books from the mid 20th century, the ones where I love how mundane they are. They're like,
it's like, let's have sandwiches by the lake.
They're right. Like, hello, cool. Frog. Hello, Toad. I've got some cookies for you. Oh, cookies. Thank you. I love cookies. Let's eat some cookies. Like, it's such a banal show. Like, it's adorable. And the only real conflict you get is like whether or not a kite's gonna fly. Like, they all just enjoy each other's company and are supporting each other the entire time. It's wonderful. Aww. Or except for the time where, like, they make fun of Toad for wearing a bathing suit because he looks
funny. That's also drama. That's very much drama. That is,
yeah.
It's bullying.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And that song is a bop, I have to say.
Yeah.
But we also struggled because our director was like, well, we really don't want to promote body shaming or anything like that.
He just looks funny. It's not body shaming. He just looks funny.
Right. That's how I read it too. But it's interesting. And we even got a review, funny enough, that was like, oh, this song could easily be taken as a like body shaming moment. No. But our but they complimented and said like, oh, the way that the director handled it and the actress handled it, like it was very much like we turned the situation around or whatever. It's such a cute show. It's so sweet.
Yes. When I saw the show, I saw it last spring. My cousin was in it. My cousin went to a high school it was a lot of young adults on the spectrum. And they did this show with high schoolers, and it was so sincere and beautiful. Like, I feel like high schoolers can be snarky, can be different. I'm sure you get the sense, like, sometimes adults doing shows for kids can have a certain tone to it, where it's like, there's a difference between like acting and acting for kids, I think, sometimes, where this high school production I saw was just so sincere.
Yeah.
And hit every joke on the nose, which I think is kind of how that kind of show is meant to be played. It's so earnest, and it's so, it's like delightfully mundane. Like, it's all, I mean, it hits my personal taste sweet spot of just like animals making merriment and with like low stakes conflict and just really liking each other. I love that kind of stuff. It's kind of like Winnie the Pooh or something like that.
Yes.
Where they're just like fun animals having very minor conflict, where they're like,
does the snail have any conflict? Does the snail like not have mail on time, and there's some reason why?
It takes in the whole show. It takes in the whole year.
Yes. The snail has a whole journey, and you follow him through the entire show.
Whenever the snail comes back, you root for him so hard.
And he finally gets basically, what is it? Oh my gosh.
Frog. I would do I'm Coming Out of My Shell for like a cabaret performance.
Oh.
Yes, it's perfect for that sort of thing.
Yeah. It's a great male showcase song.
Definitely. Oh, and for those who know me, I remember listening to it first and being like, oh, this is sweet. Also, in my head, like, my voice teacher back in college, like, gave it to me, and I was like, what the hell is this? I was like, I didn't even look at it. I was like, screw, like, oh, this sounds stupid. But fast forward, when I listened to it, I'm like, oh, I actually think this is really sweet and cute. Yeah, but yeah, no, for those who know me, I'm like, well, I listened to that ending, and I was like, no, I gotta do my thing. And so I played with it. I talked to the MD. I was like, could I put my own spin on it? And so we got to like option up and, you know, do
this. Oh,
gotta riff. Spice it up. Coming out of my shell.
Oh, see, like, just like that. Yeah.
Just like that.
Yeah. I want to be in that show so bad. Like, I feel like TYA is such a blind spot for a lot of working actors.
It's such a great experience.
Holy cow, look at me now. I'm coming out of my, yes, I deliver. I'm coming out of my, I'm going postal. I'm coming out of my shell.
All right, let's get into our theater world lightning round.
Absolutely. I'm going to
ask you some rapid fire questions.
Get ready to go fast.
Just zoom, 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 just like a snail. So, one, do you have a favorite Broadway diva?
Oh, okay, Broadway diva. Oh gosh. Why am I blanking? Oh gosh, why? Patti LuPone. Let's just say
yes.
That.
Of course. She's a safe choice. She's like
top runner up
of Broadway divas.
Yes.
All right. Well, what's your dream role?
Dream role, Quasimodo. Hunchback.
Ooh, interesting. I feel like,
oh yeah,
have you not already done that one? I feel like I could totally hear you singing that.
Oh, I was a understudy once, but
oh, okay. Yeah, that would be awesome. He's got so many great songs.
Such
Do
a good
you
show.
Have a favorite cast album?
Ooh, oh my gosh. I listen to these all the time. Oh gosh. Okay. First one that comes up to mind. Oh, Songs for a New World. The Revival.
Okay. I gotta listen to the whole thing. I've never heard the whole thing.
Oh, it's so good.
I just know the opening number.
Yes, no, so many great songs and so many great like character pieces too.
Mm-hmm.
There.
Mm. All right. And what song, moment, or show that would always make you cry? Or always makes you cry?
Oh, instantly what comes to mind is, okay, well, we saw Funny Girl, the final scene.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, song? Sorry.
The one where she sings on the moon? Is that what you're talking about?
No. So it's like the final dressing room scene where she sees Nicky Arnstein again. And she's like, oh, maybe we can get back together. But then he's like, shoots her down and she's like, it's okay. Sorry, the particular moment. Oh, I'm going to nerd out right
spoiler
now.
Spoiler alert, but not really, because it's been out forever.
Whatever. It's the scene is where she says, I don't know, you sort of made me feel beautiful. Oh, killed me. Okay.
And finally, Juan, can you recall the single greatest experience you ever had at the theater? No pressure, just the greatest experience you ever had in your entire life at the theater.
What's the single greatest? I think what I'm going to say is...
Bad Cinderella.
Absolutely.
Okay, oh gosh. Okay, whatever. One that comes to mind is okay, fine. I would say seeing Diana the musical.
Really?
Yes. Okay.
It's so magical.
I got a comp because the box office lady was so nice to me and remembered me from JTix and she'd recognized me. So she gave me a comp. I sat smack dab in the middle of the orchestra on like the third row. Like Diana DeWall was right there singing to me. It was, yeah, that was magical.
Wow.
What made that show so terrible? Like I never really saw that much about it.
Oh, it's pure camp. I think It isn't the best tribute to
no
Lady Di, to be honest. It's very much a Wikipedia version of her life. It's like it just hits all the things that you basically already know, and you're just like, okay. But then like tone is so like off, like they like yeah, there's some like weird moments, and I don't know, it's all over the place. But
was it hard for you to keep it in, like, and like not laugh at things while watching the show?
By that point, they had I think they knew that they had a cult following. So my favorite moment actually was she sings in one of the songs, one of the stupidest lines is wasn't I the most beautiful bride? Whatever serves me right for marrying a Scorpio, and we all laugh. She turns to the audience and it's just like, yeah. Like, saying it to us, and we all cracked up. So, yeah, I think we all were like allowed. We were all in on the joke, you know.
Okay.
That seems special. That seems like a really special experience. Yes. Because no show is like designed to make you feel that way.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. It was definitely like a special night. Because like, I don't know. Someone's here. It was just super fun, and like the amount of gays that were there in the audience too, that were all just like geeking it out. I feel like it was a feel good time, you know.
Yeah, that seems like the vibe that Bad Cinderella is trying to create but failing.
Trying, right? That's the thing, is it's trying. And yeah. I think that's what Diana was.
It
was,
you can't engineer that. Yeah.
Right. It's yeah.
Well, I maybe I'll watch the Netflix version that has no audience.
Oh, it's pretty. It's a fun it's one. Pretty special.
Okay, yeah. Special.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Juan, for coming on our show. This was so lovely catching up with you and chatting with you.
Thank you so much for having me. No, I'm so glad. This is a lot of fun and
a dream come true.
Dream come true.
Do you have anything you want to promote? Any shows or social media or anything coming up?
That's funny you should bring that up. I'm just still auditioning and stuff, but sure. I am going to be hopefully working on a website. I feel like it's a long time coming, so I'm just working on marketing myself better. So, yeah, just keep an eye out for that.
Well, to all the Broadway producers listening here, he's available.
Yes, cast him as a snail.
Please. Yes, he's got tons of snail experience.
Yes,
for all the other insect-based roles on Broadway.
That's what Bad Cinderella is missing out on, a snail. They need it.
He's more talking animals.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, that would be so cool.
Yeah. All right, well, thank you so much for listening. As always, you can follow us on Instagram at theaterworld_presents. And we'll see you in another 2 weeks on a brand new episode of the Theater World Podcast. Bye-bye, everyone. Bye.